Well, good morning. Today is all about new things. I'm new, you're new to me. But the most important thing is today's about new life in Christ. Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. Me and my family, we want to thank you for such a warm welcome that Grassy Pond Baptist Church has extended to us, helped us move in our home and helped us to feel right at home, and we thank you for that. We thank you for being here today to gather together and celebrate our risen Lord and Savior. Thank you, Adam, and for those of us who have been leading us in song worship so far. You know, there's a traditional Christian greeting on Resurrection Sunday where one believer would announce, "He is risen," and to the one he was greeting would respond back, "He is risen indeed." So I want to declare to you, "He is risen," and I want you to respond back to me, "He is risen indeed," like you believe it, like you believe that Jesus is alive this morning. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
I want to invite you to John chapter 11. If you have your Bibles, please open to John chapter 11. And keep your Bibles open. We're going to study through that chapter. And at the conclusion of the sermon, we're going to look at a couple of more verses. So please keep your Bibles open. And while you're finding John chapter 11, I just want to say a special greeting and thank you to my parents. They made their way here to be with us this morning. They're down here on the second row here with my wife, Summer, and my niece is here as well, and she's getting married Saturday, so you all be praying for her and for that new life that she's embarking on, that new married life. And Bruce and Rita Owens, my parents, and Kayla Owens, my niece, and thank you for being here today. Now, the context of what we're going to be studying together this morning, what has happened is that Jesus, he has three special friends. Their name is Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha. And they live in the village called Bethany. And during his ministry, Jesus receives news that Lazarus has passed away. And the Bible says in verse 5 of this chapter that Jesus loved Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And so he and his disciples begin, after waiting 2 days, they begin to make their way to the village of Bethany. And he has in mind, and he has in plan, and we see that from verse 4 of this chapter, that he plans to comfort Mary and Martha in a way that's beyond their imagination, in a way in which they can't even think of. That's the way the Lord moves in our lives. And that's where we find ourselves when we come to verse 17. If you're able, I want to ask you to stand in honor of the reading of this portion of Scripture. I'm going to read from verses 17 through 27, and then for our time together, we're going to hone in on verses 25 and 26. Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. And so when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Thank you. You may be seated. The reality of the resurrection as an invitation to believe. The reality of the resurrection as an invitation to believe. I would like to begin our time together this morning by simply posing the question, why are you here today? Why have you come this morning to the morning service at Grassy Pond Baptist Church? I mean, really, think honestly about how you would answer that question. I mean, it's pretty clear there's a number of us here that decided to be here this morning. Why? Why did you decide to come this morning to a worship service? Well, when you're thinking about how I might would answer that question, apart from the fact that I truly want to be here, the other part is, well, I kind of better be here, right? I'm supposed to be preaching the message this morning, but why did you come? Now, that your answer might range everything from the whole spectrum of, well, I'm a faithful member of this church, and this Sunday to me is like any other Sunday. On Sunday mornings, I gather here to worship with my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Your answer may be, well, I don't gather here every Sunday, but there are special Sundays that I just like to come to Grassy Pond. I just like to come to church here, and this is one of those days. Your answer may be, well, Mom's cooking a big meal, and she said if you don't come to church, you don't get to eat. So I'm here. Your answer may be, well, there's always just something special about this day. And that's why I'm here, preacher. So whatever our reason for being here today, now that we are here, now that we have assembled together, what we're going to find is that what Jesus says in verses 25 and 26 of John 11 is the most important, most crucial, most urgent news that we have ever heard. It's more important than whatever you have planned this afternoon or this evening or the rest of this week. It's more crucial than any other decision in your life today. You may be facing a very difficult decision this week. This is more crucial than that. It's more urgent than anything else we can imagine. You may have a health crisis before you, a family crisis before you, a vocational crisis before you today. This matter is even more pressing, more urgent than anything else that you can think of. And the reason I say that is because when we talk about resurrection, that's a matter of life and death, and life after death. And for that reason, it is far more important and crucial and urgent than anything else we can discuss or face or be faced with in life today. What we run up against today in the Scripture in John 11 is a declaration that Jesus puts before us, a promise that Jesus puts before us that is absolutely revolutionary Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, is the high day of the Christian calendar. This day for us as believers is full of rich promise. It is full of certain hope. It is full of eternal truth, ultimate truth. And so whatever reason that we've come to church today, we've picked a really good day to come. A really good day to be in church. Because today we're going to hear from God through His Son, in His Word, the answer to life's ultimate question. The ultimate question. This is the question that keeps you up at night. This is the question that when you do occasionally come to think about it, it makes you tremble. This is the question that when you're faced with it, you try to get away from it. You don't want to deal with it. You'd rather busy yourself with a lot of things to keep this question out of your mind. This is the ultimate question: is there life after death? And if there is, how do we obtain it? How do we have it? Let's read together. Let's study together this profound statement of Christ. Beginning in verse 25, we do find this profound declaration. Jesus responds to Martha's true statement. Martha has just responded to Christ with a very true statement. I know that He will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. But Jesus is responding to Martha by saying, there's something even more true than that. There's something even more profound than that. There's something even deeper and more significant and more life-changing than what's going to happen. And that's something that's more significant is me. And Jesus responds to Martha by a profound declaration, I am the resurrection and the life. I want us to see here this morning something that we miss in our English translations that's there in the original Greek language of how the New Testament was recorded in the Greek. And that is, when Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, the Greek places an undeniable emphasis on the word I. Jesus says I twice to place clear, distinct emphasis on Himself. In other words, it literally reads, Jesus responds in verses 25 and says, I am the resurrection and the life. It's me. It is something that is to come, but that's because of me. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is drawing a clear focus to Himself. He's drawing Martha's faith in who God is and what God can do. Listen clearly, He's drawing Martha from what God can do to who God is. From what God does to who God is. In other words, Jesus didn't say, well, you know, I'm the one that brings about resurrection and life. He didn't say that. Jesus didn't say, well, guess what? I know the secret key that can unlock the answer to resurrection and life. No, rather Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. In other words, Christ Himself is the very source of resurrection and life. Christ Himself is the very fountain of resurrection and life. The answer to the ultimate question of life and death is not a religion. It's not a hidden mystery. It's not a misguided, uninformed, unintellectual fabrication for the weak-minded. The answer to life's ultimate question is a person. It's Jesus Christ. The answer is not some kind of secret, hidden notion that only a very select few know about. It's a saving person. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the answer to the ultimate question that causes us to tremble when we think about what happens when we draw our last breath in this life. What happens next? Well, I don't want to think about that. Well, Jesus is saying, well, think about it because it's me. Jesus says, He is the resurrection. Now, that's a startling, stunning statement, because resurrection means life after death. Now, that's beyond us. That's beyond our experience. That's beyond our grasp. That's beyond our knowledge. That's beyond where we've been. That's beyond the things that we know. The things that we know is that death comes after life. Now, we know that. In fact, that's the only thing that we know in our experience and in our realm of existence is that death follows life. But what Jesus is saying by using the word resurrection is that and life follows death. Everything that we know and everyone that we know to be alive or who has lived, we also know has died or will one day die. Plants die, animals die, people die. Oh, we had a funeral here this past week. But resurrection means that life, get this, life happens beyond that cemetery out there. That doesn't mean finality for the believer. That doesn't mean that's it for the believer, that there's life after death. Christ is the resurrection. And that life that is beyond the grave is tied directly to Christ. It is in Him we discover resurrection. And by resurrection, by the way, we don't mean some kind of spiritual phrase or ooey-gooey feeling, but rather we mean a very true reality. Actually, what it means, that as believers in Christ, we go on living after death. And in the last day, truly, we'll be raised to new life in Him. Christ says He is the resurrection. He also says He is the life. Meaning that true life, that resurrection life, that death overcoming life is found only in Christ. That real living, life without end, life with meaning and purpose, life that is everlasting and eternal, life that continues beyond death, life that cannot be vanquished even by the grave. Ultimate life does not cease when our bodies expire, but rather they continue in the glorious, joyful presence of the Lord. Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This is stunning. This is the most remarkable thing we will ever hear in this life, is that after this life, in Christ, there is life. And life everlasting. And yet it is absolutely true. The thing that is beyond us, that is beyond our experience, that is beyond our grasp, is actually Christ and found in Christ. Now let me ask you a question. Are you afraid of dying? Are you afraid of dying? Do you fear death? Don't you have this desire within the depths of your soul to keep on living? To not die? Wouldn't you love to know beyond any doubt that there is life for you beyond death? And I'm not talking about some fuzzy feeling of a warm light way far down a tunnel somewhere that we're forever headed to. I'm not talking about some kind of sense in this life of some kind of heightened spiritual awareness. And Jesus is not talking about some kind of foggy existence in which when we die we are absorbed into the entire universe. No, Jesus is, what's he talking about here is that real, true, everlasting life exists. Literal, actual life exists forever in Him. So that leads us to the question then, well, how do we have it? How do we possess it? How do we know that we have obtained it? And that's where we go in the second part of the sermon this morning to the rest of 25 and 26 as Jesus gives a promise-filled explanation. So he gives a profound declaration and now he gives a promise-filled explanation in the rest of verse 25 and into verse 26. If Christ is the source of resurrection and life, then it makes sense and it only stands to reason that if he himself is the fountain of resurrection and life, that for us to know and experience and possess resurrection in life, that we must be attached to Him. That we must be connected to Him. And that is precisely what the next two phrases of the text, what Jesus has to share, explain. When we embrace Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of our lives, we are united to Him by faith, in so much that the Bible says we are in Christ and Christ is in us. And therefore, because we are in Christ and Christ is in us, we take part in the resurrection and life that is in Christ. When we treasure Christ as our Lord and Savior and turn from ourselves and turn from this world and flee to Christ and treasure Him above all things, He folds us into His life. And since He is the resurrection and the life, then we who have been folded into His life, we have resurrection and life in Christ. And so the final phrase of verse 25, Jesus explains what he means when he says, I am the resurrection. He makes it clear. I'm not talking about some kind of spiritual fuzzy notion or warm gooey feeling or some light in the distance. He says this, whoever believes in me, though he die, literally die, lay down, horizontal, dead. Though he die, yet shall he live, literal, actual, alive, vertical. In other words, Jesus is saying, this is not, I'm not talking about some mysterious positive thinking, self-help, self-esteem lecture or speech here. I'm not talking about a new outlook on life. I'm not talking about a renewed, reinvigorated approach to living. I'm not talking about even turning over a new leaf. Not at all. I mean, really, actually, forevermore, alive. Even after death. Even after death. But how do we know this resurrection is ours? How do we possess it? How do we have it? And what Jesus is saying here, what the Bible teaches us, is we possess resurrection when we possess Christ. We have life when we have Christ. Jesus says, it's conditioned on faith, isn't it? Jesus says, whoever believes in me, that's who, though he die, yet shall he live. It's whoever believes in me. Those are the ones who have resurrection. It's not for everyone, but it's for those who have trusted in Christ, because Christ is the resurrection. That's why it's not for everyone. This is not a message of hatred from Christ. It's just a message of truth. He's the resurrection. Therefore, it's those who are in Him who, though they die, yet shall they live. And then in the opening phrase of verse 26, Jesus explains what he means by resurrection in verse 25. In the opening phrase of verse 26, Jesus explains what he means by saying he is the life. It's another promise-filled explanation. Verse 26, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Everyone who believes and lives in me shall never die. In other words, Jesus is saying the life that is found in him is a life that even death cannot stop. Now, from our experience, death stops pretty much everything. When something's dead, it's dead. But in Christ, everyone who lives and believes in him shall never die. Now, we know that he's not referring to physical death here, because he's just talked about believers physically dying. Though he die, yet shall he live. He's talking about spiritual death, the second death, eternal separation from Christ. See, another biblical truth we need to realize is just because you don't live forever in Christ, if you are not a believer, doesn't mean you just cease to exist. There's eternal life after the grave, and there's eternal death after the grave. And that's the death that Christ is speaking of here. When sin entered the world, we died spiritually, and our physical death demonstrates that we're dead spiritually. What Christ came to ransom us and save us from is exactly what we needed Him to rescue and save us from, the spiritual death, not the physical death, the spiritual death. We did not want Jesus to come and just just keep us from physical death if we're going to be eternally separated from God. We needed Jesus to come and rescue us from spiritual death so that we could be forever with God and reconciled to Him. And that's exactly what Christ is talking about. The Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. In other words, for the unbeliever who is without Christ, physical death for him is the doorway to everlasting separation from God. But for the believer who is in Christ, physical death for her is the doorway to everlasting life with Christ. And that's why the Apostle Paul could write, "For me to live is Christ, but to die, that's gain." In other words, there's something far more better waiting for me after I die. And it's life. Life. Now notice with me quickly, and then we'll begin to draw our time together to a close. But notice with me quickly that Jesus not only explains resurrection and life as a promise for those who believe in Him, He also explains what He means by believing. And this is very important, church. Everyone who's gathered this morning, this is very important. Because while we can all agree, yes, Jesus is the resurrection and life, and yes, you must believe in Him to have resurrection and life, we might not be on the same page about what it means to believe in Him. This is very important. Because you can believe that if you believe in Christ, you have eternal life, but we better know what it means to believe in Him. We better get that part right. Or else we still don't have resurrection in life. We still don't have Christ. And Jesus clarifies what He means by believing in Him when He says, everyone who, here it is, church, lives. Everyone who lives and believes in Me. Everyone who lives and believes in Me shall never die. In other words, you simply cannot, listen carefully, you simply cannot separate true, saving, believing in Christ from how we live in this life today. How we live day to day, not just on Sunday morning, but day to day, Monday afternoon, when no one else is watching, on the weekends, how we live demonstrates what we really believe. And that's why Jesus says, whoever lives in Me and believes in Me. Believing in Christ is not merely one moment decision you made in Bible school when you were 7 years old, and now Jesus really doesn't even enter your thinking except maybe once in a while, a year, or sometimes when you show up at church. Believing in Christ is not about what happened way back then. Believing in Christ is about how you live now as a teenager, how you live now as a college student, how you live now as a single, how you live now as a young adult, how you live now as a senior citizen. How are you living? Is it in Christ? Or is it in self? Is it in Christ or is it in sin? Is it in Christ or is it in the world? The Bible is clear throughout all of its teaching that believing in Christ is not only a decision, it's a whole new life. If you truly have new birth, it will inevitably produce new life. For if you are in Christ, you say, wait a minute, preacher, you sure the Bible says that? The Bible says if you are in Christ, you are a brand new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. If you are gathered this morning and you say, oh yeah, I'm a believer, but you look back at your life when you say you came to Christ and you look at your life today and nothing's new? Nothing's new? That's not resurrection. That's not life. Christ came to make us new. That's what resurrection means. And it's those people who live and believe in Christ today, right now, that shall never taste spiritual death. Never. It's those people who live and believe in Christ who, when they close their eyes to this life, when they draw that last dying, maybe agonizing breath in this life, they wake up to eternal joy. It's only those. It's only those. And that's why the very next part of our text, we see a personal invitation. Jesus poses this question directly and personally to Martha. He's been using universal, impersonal language to explain the gospel promise of life by faith in Christ. He said, whoever believes in verse 25. He said, everyone who lives and believes in verse 26. But now He comes and He uses direct, personal language to Martha, and He says to her as an individual, do you believe this? In other words, are you part of that whosoever? Are you part of that everyone who believes? Do you believe this? And the reason why he asked Martha, does she believe, is because it's a remarkable thing to believe. My friends, there's only one answer to that question that yields resurrection and life. And it's the answer that Martha gives. Look with me again. When Jesus says, do you believe this? She responds in verse 27. She said to him, yes. There's her affirmation. Yes. Lord. There's her declaration. In other words, she's talking to this man, Jesus, and she's acknowledging he's not just a man, but he's Yahweh as a man. Yes, Lord. And then here's her faith. I believe. Not my parents, not my grandparents, not my church. I believe. Martha, I believe. And here's her confession. That you, Christ, Jesus, that you are the Christ, the Son of God who is coming into the world. And listen carefully, church. Listen carefully, all who are gathered this morning. Because Martha believes in Christ, she now absolutely, certainly possesses the promises of verses 25 and 26. Whoever believes in me, though she die, yet shall she live. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. You might say, well, all right, that's all well and good, but preacher, how do we know Martha got it right? How do we know that Jesus is who he says that he is? How do we know that Jesus is the answer to the ultimate question? I'm glad you asked that. Let's look further in this very same chapter. Remember in verse 17, the Bible's already told us that Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days, dead. Look at verse 43 of John 11. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Now, that's remarkable. That's remarkable. Let's just wait. Let's let this sink in. Jesus is standing outside of a tomb where a man has been dead for 4 days. And he stands out there and says, Lazarus, come out. Now, he's either lost it or he's real. What happens next changes everything about what we believe. Because what if the next verse, nothing happens? If nothing happens, if nobody moves, then let's just go home. If there's no resurrection, Paul says, we're to be most pitied. But look what happened. Lazarus come out, and the man who had died, get ready, you got your seats buckled, came out! He came out! His hands and his feet bound with linen strips, his face wrapped with cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Somebody said that if he hadn't have said Lazarus, everyone would have come forth. I know what you mean by that, but he was there for Lazarus. Lazarus come out. And he did. Now that's remarkable that Jesus can raise the dead. Now we know, don't we? Now we know that resurrection and life is Christ. But there's something even more remarkable than that. Go with me to John 20. Just one verse in John 20. And then we're going to close. I know I've said that 2 or 3 times, but that's how I keep you with me. Now, Jesus has been crucified. They sang it earlier. He's been in the tomb for 3 days. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The day of Sunday has already begun. Look at verse 19, John 20, verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, Sunday, that's why we're here today, that's why we're here every Sunday, Sunday. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Listen to this now. He's been dead for 3 days. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the answer to life's ultimate question. You don't have to fear death anymore. You don't have to be afraid of dying and wondering if there's something beyond there. There's no way we can study this today without what Christ asked Martha being asked of us this morning. Do you believe? Do I believe this? It's something to raise somebody else. That's enough to believe in him, by the way. It's something to raise somebody else, but he raised himself. He raised himself. He is the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? It is the most important, crucial, urgent news we will ever hear. It has to do with life and death and life after death. Do you believe this? If you believe in Christ, if you live in Christ, all of these promises are yours. Though you die, you will live. And you will never taste what the Bible calls the second death. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and prepare ourselves to respond to today's message as Adam and those come forward to lead us in a time of response. I just want to ask you this morning, do you believe in Christ? I mean, do you really, truly believe in Christ? Has your life changed? Do you have new life? Has Christ raised you spiritually? There may be some of us gathered this morning and we thought we were Christians because we came to church. We thought we were Christians because we said a sinner's prayer. We thought we were Christians because we haven't killed anyone or done anything really, really horribly bad. Or if we have, well, we asked Jesus to forgive us. But we thought we were okay with God. But you know what? I look at my life and my life didn't change. I just wanted a ticket to heaven. I didn't want Jesus. I just wanted a ticket to heaven. That might be your case today. Or you might be gathered this morning and you might be thinking, I really didn't think anything about this till you started talking. But now that I think about it, preacher, I'm not right with God. I'm not right with Christ. And today I believe in Him. I want to ask you, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, I want to ask you if you this morning, you say, boy, there's a lot of people in this auditorium. Yeah, but we're talking about the most important issue in life, so don't worry about how many people. You say, well, if I say I'm coming to Christ today, my parents think I'm already a Christian. Grassy Pond thinks I'm already a Christian. Listen, don't let what other people think keep you away from Christ, the most important. It's what God knows about us to be true. Hey, I'd been baptized about 4 times before I became a true believer. I know what you're feeling right now, but I also know that only in Christ you have resurrection and life. With everyone with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, you search your soul and you say, I need Christ today. It's time for me to know resurrection and new life. If that is you, would you lift your hand so I can see and pray with you today? Anyone? I see you. I see you. There's 2, 3. Any more? Any more? Lift it high so I can see. Thank you. I think I saw about 4 or 5 hands, but you don't have to show me anything. God sees your heart. And if today you desire Christ as your Lord and Savior, you want to know resurrection life, and you want to know Christ, Martin and I are going to be down here at the front, and I invite you, as Jesus invited Martha, I invite you to come and show, demonstrate, confess that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You make your way down to this front, and Martin and I would love to pray with you this morning. Let me pray, and we're going to begin singing, and you don't wait a second. Don't wait till everybody else stands up and starts singing. You want Christ? You come on. Father in heaven, we pray, we give you glory because Jesus is alive and life is found in Him. Father, if we are without Christ today, Lord, give us the faith that we need to believe and help us to confess that faith by coming forward this morning to announce you as Lord and Savior of our life. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand as we sing together?